Cambridge Radio
with Alex Elbro.
Now, it's just gone 11:30 and it's time to talk to my guest, Emma Vicelli. Now, she is the winner of the Stiles and Drew Best New Song Prize 2024 for It Starts Small. It's the first musical she has ever written and she's on the line. Good morning to you, Emma.
Good morning, Alex.
How are you? Apart from probably very exhausted.
Yeah, exhausted, true. And still, still reeling, still living in a surreal state of pretty sure I'm going to wake up any minute, to be honest.
So take us a little bit back. So you have won this prize. Can you sort of explain to people what the sort of competition is even about before we get into how you decided to enter it and write a musical like you do?
As you do, you know. I'm calling it my midlife crisis. This is just how I'm channeling my...
It sounds like it's going very well if it's your midlife crisis.
The competition itself, or the prize itself, is a collaboration between Stiles and Drew, so George Stiles and Anthony Drew, who are an incredible, formidable pair of musical theatre writers and producers and directors themselves. So they've been responsible for things recently, like the new Mary Poppins, the new Half Sixpence. They wrote Honk, Betty Blue Eyes, like a bunch of things. Most recently, Becoming Nancy. And they work in collaboration with MMD, who are Mercury Musical Developments, who I became a member of just this year, and basically it's changed my life. And this new song prize is global. People can submit songs, members of MMD submit songs. It has to be from a show that's not been professionally performed yet, so it has to be something that's in development, but that's the only limitation. So you can enter if you've had 3 West End hits, so long as it's a new song from a new show that's not been seen, you can enter this competition. And it's a chance. Well, it's just a phenomenal opportunity to have a platform to have your music heard, which, especially in my case, as someone who's sort of coming at this from nowhere.
Just as you're saying that, honestly, my eyes are flying out of the sky to think how on, not how on earth, because I have heard the song. We will get to play it in a moment. But my goodness, you have done really well. I nearly swore then. I won't swear. But so they said there was 202 submissions, or probably more than that, and they whittled that down to 12 finalists. To even get into that 12 out of 200 is incredible.
Well, exactly. And I think I met so many incredible people that day. Like, as a whole, this isn't just a prize, this is like an entrance way to a whole community of amazing people. But I and a lot of the fellow writers, I'm sure, I was very much of the opinion that this is it, you know, being in that 12, that's the absolute most I could possibly have dreamed of, you know.
Yeah.
That would be perfectly sufficient at my stage. And I wasn't, we'll move on to it later, I'm sure, but I have so much gratitude to Kat Nicol of Between the Bars in Cambridge, who, you know, because she's who sort of firstly inspired me to try writing something. Then she suggested, why don't you join Mercury Musical Developments? And then it was her who suggested, why don't you enter this Stiles and Drew Prize? Which, at the point the deadline was coming up for it, I had pretty much only been a member of MMD for 2 weeks. You're supposed to submit 2 songs, and I didn't have time to submit 2 songs. So me and my best friend Liz Townsend, who's also my musical director, we quickly put together a guide track where she took what I'd written on the piano and made it prettier, and and I recorded the vocals, which, for a male song, we had to record the guide track with me singing it, so obviously it's in a very different key, and me, and I sent it off and literally didn't think about it for months. And when the email came through that just said Stiles and Drew Prize 2024, my genuine first thought was, how lovely that they contacted everyone to thank them for entering this competition, because it was just unbelievable.
It is mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing, and it's wonderful that somebody I know who is I met you through the musical theatre world in Cambridge.
Yeah, you performed with me.
And that was my first ever thing. And this was Canada Girls. And you'd taken a break from it. You'd done quite a lot in the past, hadn't you? And you'd taken a break for a while. I think you were a bit worried about coming back.
Well, massively, because just before Calendar Girls, obviously Calendar Girls was the first thing we did after the pandemic, really. After the main thrust of the pandemic. And I had lost my voice. I couldn't speak for 9 months. I couldn't sing. I thought that part of my life was pretty much done. And certainly writing music is not something I've done for a good, I hate to think, at least 15 years. Like it was something I used to do all the time. And actually this is part of the premise of the show to a point, is this rediscovering who we used to be and how that can maybe help us now. If we're feeling like something's disconnected in our life, we can look at what we enjoyed when we were younger. And that's certainly, I'm living that story now, because suddenly I'm in the middle of this world of stuff that I didn't, there was a point in time when I didn't think I'd even sing again, yeah. Let alone get on a stage again and do something like Calendar Girls or then write something. I mean, it's my day job, as you know, I write and draw comic books. So that's the world I'm from. So I have to keep telling myself that I'm not new to storytelling. I've written stories my whole life, but writing a musical is a completely different beast. Yeah. And the phrase that keeps coming back in our household and that I absolutely adore, because some of the other incredibly talented writers latched onto as well, is that my husband, Pud, who you know, he said of this competition, you only get one chance in your life to be Cool Runnings. That was me. Absolutely. This year. I was the Jamaican bobsled team of musical theatre, and there was this magical moment at the prize when I was, well, after I'd had my head in my hands and couldn't believe it was happening, some of the lovely writers around me were like nudging me, going, you've got to get up, you've got to get up. And one of them just shouted out, Cool Running.
Brilliant. Now, before we say any more, I want to play this track. Now, I don't know whether you want to give a little bit of context into the song. And as you've already said, you're singing it, and it's actually designed for a man in the musical. Is, but I'm going to say, everyone listening, I think is absolutely beautiful in your voice anyway.
Oh,
so, and the storytelling, it come through as incredible. As you say, you write and draw comic books, so which is a huge thing in its own right. As well, just you know, in the meantime, we haven't got time to do that today, but maybe another time. I'd like to talk about that another time. Just give us a quick introduction to this song. We'll play it and then we'll talk to you afterwards.
So in the competition, it was sung by the amazing Stephen Roman Hughes, who was fantastic. It's very much an actor's song. It takes place in act two of the show Unfolding. I almost don't want to say too much before we play it, because I think it sort of talks for itself. But as you say, the main context here is to try and imagine what listeners are going to hear and imagine this coming out of a male presenting voice, because that's sort of part of the power of the story is in who's singing it. But I'm sure we'll talk about that afterwards.
Okay, we're going to
sit here nervously
and we'll come back to you. This is Emma Ficelli and It Starts Small.
It starts small, but then it grows. A single bruise in a place that never shows. And he looks in her eyes, waiting for sorry to come. It never comes. It starts small, but then it grows. Another cut, a burn, a scar he never shows. And her eyes grow cold and dark, no trace left of that spark. It starts small, but then it doesn't hurt at all. And God forbid the world should see what my own wife can do to me. How desperate she must be to find the nerve. And the salt that stings the worst of all is every blow, each burn, each fall is something that I know I must deserve. It starts small, but then it grows, until you're sitting in a hospital and you're nursing broken bones after falling down the stairs, just like you did the month before. They're asking, is there more? Is there more? It starts small, and then you know. a show. And your daughter turns 15. It's getting harder not to be seen. It started small, but now it doesn't hurt at all. And then one day I looked around the cold white walls, inventing accidents and falls. And one thought rose up through the fog of lies and hurt the muddled bog that passed to something like my mind. Though at that point was hard to find, just guilt and knowledge I had failed. But there it was, my heart assailed by one presiding prime directive, one last pitiful objective. My child would never sit here in this chair. My child would never have to lie about why she was there. And that is when it hurt. It started small, but then it grew. It blossomed painfully and raw, but then I knew a bigger thing than me. I may have failed, but she'd be free, my daughter. And so I brought her here. She started small, but then she grew. The greatest thing I've ever done, the brightest soul I ever knew. But I know I let her down, I waited too long. So I could never be enough, I would never be enough. And the world was not enough to stop the hurting once it came. It started small, I shut it down. It started small, then I stopped feeling things.
That's Emma Bocelli and It Starts Small. I don't know about you, everybody, but I don't know if there's a dryer in the house, really. Emma, how did you... you said you'd used to songwrite in the past, and you, like, say, you write stories for comic books. So did an idea come into your head and you thought, I've just got to get this down? You said Kat had encouraged you. Had you written something in the past?
No, I mean, I used to write songs for bands. I was in bands when I was younger, and I think I used to, on some level as a kid, I've always loved musicals, and I think I used to, like a lot of kids, musical theatre kids, I'd make up musicals, you know, in my bedroom. So it was always a thing that was there, and I had like a back catalogue of songs, and there was just one point a few years ago where I'd put one song that just happened, I didn't share them very much. And even this last year, up until the last couple of weeks, even when I've seen friends in theatre, even knowing I'm writing a show, it's all been very sort of, oh, I'm trying this thing. You know, it's not, it's,
yeah,
a,
yeah, you don't want to be
huge,
kind of like, oh, I, you know, oh, it's all about me and I'm doing this, or, and
it's
people
a
think,
hugely,
yeah.
Sorry, yeah. It's a hugely vulnerable thing, I think.
I guess, you know, everybody starts from somewhere, but I think that's the thing. When you know about, you know, people that write musicals, you're like, oh, that's other people. You know,
yes,
some, they
exactly.
write people. But, you know, everyone's had to be that person that says, right, I'm going to write that song or that
yeah.
show. And I guess having the right arc of a story and, you know, the songs that fit within it and the characters and having to, you have to grow each character. You can't. It's not like just a song where you can have a story within it. This has got to fit within a whole narrative of a,
yeah,
you know, how,
huge.
What characters fit in.
And I think at the beginning, when Kat basically said, oh, have you ever thought about writing a musical? And I said, well, I've thought about it, but hadn't done it. It feels, exactly as you say, it feels unfathomable. You know, that's something other people do. You know, I sit in a theatre and watch them, or I get on the stage and perform them. I don't write them. But I actually had a story. So Unfolding is actually from a story that I was planning as a book a few years ago, and I hadn't quite got round to pitching that. And so when the option came up that Kat said, well, if you write something, and this was literally the extent of what we were imagining, she said, if you write something, we can put it on, Between the Bars can put it on in Cambridge. And
right,
I thought, how amazing would that be? That's incredible. So that's the motivation I needed, I think, to try it. And so I thought, well, there's this story that I have, and I think that could work quite well as a musical. And at the beginning, I think I lazily thought, well, I've got a back catalogue of songs. And I had years worth of songs. I'm sure I can make them work for this show. And very quickly, I started to realise, actually, no, that's the easy way out. I want to write this. I want to write it all new. And I think I probably seriously, at the point when I approached Liz, again, Liz Townsend, who's working with me on this for doing, she's very musically clever. I mean, everything I do is by feel. I keep sort of joking about it, I'm not really a musician. I don't read and write music. So when I sit and write a song at a piano, it's very just what comes out. You know, I don't know. In some ways, it's nice. As she and Sam Kirby, co-musical director, they keep joking that it's great because I don't know the rules. I don't follow the rules.
Exactly. So you can break them as much as you like, and you just want to play, put something down that works. But I've just realized what the time is. So we need to move on a little bit, just because. You just pointed out there that you don't write music. So you've written a musical, but without writing and reading music. Will you read music? I don't know, read, write?
No, not really.
You follow the notes.
I know where the notes are. Yeah. I'm trying to learn.
You're going to have a very fast learning curve here.
Yeah.
Now, but having a great group around you is also key, isn't it, in that? So,
Absolutely.
The fact that you can rely on, good friends and people that you know are right in these things, and you pick the right people, so that's also good.
I'm so lucky.
But now, fast forward to last week, in London, you hear your song being performed by the guy along with the other finalists, and you're sitting there.
Yeah.
You hear your name, as you said, you didn't actually know what to do next. Because, I mean, why would you? Why, you're not going to be that person that writes a kind of great long speech beforehand, probably. but what happens now?
So what happens now, as I sort of start to kind of come down from the insane high of it, because it really was an amazing, like a mind-blowing night, and there are no words to describe how incredible that night was and how good all the songs were, and just the whole thing was magical, and the support from Cambridge Theatre being there as well, a lot of my workshop cast. Oh, it was just amazing. So what happens now is literally that weekend of the competition, the way timings worked out is me and my music team and our workshop cast and our band, we were in a studio with the amazing Nick Hall sound engineering for us, and we were recording a scratch demo. So we've taken 7 songs from the show, and this is all just with love and heart and friends, as you say, in this incredible theatre scene. We have a cast of 6, 10 musicians, and a sound engineer, and we just sat in a room for a weekend, and we recorded 7 songs. They're all done live, so it's all very sort of
raw.
It's going to be a bit rough and ready, very raw, because at the time we booked it, we didn't know that Stars and Drew was going to happen. It was just literally, let's record some of the songs, that'll be fun. The amount of pressure put on them now has suddenly escalated, so they need to be mixed down. So we're hoping to get them out there, so for It Starts Small, we have Ben Clark is singing that for the demo, and he sounds absolutely brilliant, and it's a completely different take as well from what was done in the Stars and Drew prize, so which is great for me as the writer, because I want to know that my songs can
follow the story that you want.
I want the actors to feel like they can really make that song their own and use it the best way they can to tell the story. So I'm really excited to get that out there. And then we're looking at the end of January, which is rushing towards us at a frightening pace, doing what we're calling a writer's studio workshop, which will be me getting our cast together, putting the show on its feet with Kat directing, with a sort of pared down musical team, so that I, as the writer, can actually see what it looks like put together.
Of course, there's only so much I can do on the page. Yeah, I was going to say, at the moment, it's kind of in your head, isn't it?
Now, well, it's written. I've got a libretto. I've got the script and 24 songs. It's all written, but I need to now actually see it.
And it's a prize, it's some money, isn't it, towards this development. So that's going to help a great deal, isn't it?
Of course, everything like that helps.
Of course,
But more than the money, I think it's just having that contact. I thought Stars and Drew give their name to this prize. I didn't know they literally were going to be there hugging me and giving me a prize, and that I would get to meet all these incredible people in this community. So I think it sounds cliche, but yes, of course the money helps, but what the doors this has opened.
So are we going to see this musical in Cambridge in next year or
that's the
some
plan.
Point? Excellent.
That's certainly the plan. We're looking at potentially September-ish, sort of towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
We've got to do the workshops. I'll probably be editing it again after that because I don't think I'll ever be happy with it. And then we'll probably try and do some like previews. So watch this space and hopefully it will get its debut.
Well, you'll
in
be
Cambridge.
Back. I'd like you to come back in when that's all happening and we can talk about the next adventure in your story because it's fantastic.
Ooh. One thing, I realised we didn't talk much about the song, but can I just mention mankind.org.uk, if anyone out there listened, I know we didn't talk about it, but if anyone out there listened to that particular song and either feels personally affected by it or knows someone who might feel personally affected by it, please speak to the Mankind Initiative who deal with male domestic abuse, just to put that in there.
Thank you. That's really important and that's brilliant. Well, thank you, Emma, for that. That's absolutely amazing. And what a lovely thing to take you into Christmas now. I say now you need to rest. Clearly you don't. You've just told me what you've got to do coming up. But have a wonderful time and thank you very much and congratulations again.
Thank you so much.
Cambridge Radio.